Dave Hyde, the terrific columnist with the South Florida Sun Sentinel. How you doing, Dave?
I'm good, Jeff. How you been?
I'm doing well. It's fine. You know, we talked a little bit, and I want to talk about Chris Bosch in particular, but we talked a little bit with Paul Jones of our Raptors crew in the first hour about that game last night and about the overtime and how we all kind of got the sense that during the timeout, you know, before overtime, Dwayne Wade kind of looked around and said, yeah, okay, I've done this before, and basically took control of the game from there. There are times, you know, everybody knows that in the NBA, a lot of times it comes down to the best player getting calls and all that, but there really are times in the NBA, isn't there, Dave, where you look at a guy and go, God, it really doesn't matter how old you are, how good you are. There are just times where having been there is so, so important.
Yeah, and you know, here in the media, we break down the coaching and the strategy and all this stuff, but it's the most predictable league. It usually comes down to who's playing stars and which stars are playing well. And last night, boy, that was a strange ending, though. Even for Wade, you know, I was talking to Luol Deng after the game, and he said he's never been in a finish like that in his 12 years. And even for Wade, who's been through so much, he said, during the timeout huddle, he just had to collect himself and put that, you know, the Heat had the game won up 6 points with 19 seconds left. Mm-hmm. And for Toronto to tie it, great for Toronto. And for a Heat team, this isn't the championship Heat team or the team with Wade in his prime. Wade's 34 now, and he'll admit he's not, you know, who is at 34 what they were in the NBA at, you know, 3 or 4 years previously. So that showed something about the Heat last night. I thought that they could collect themselves in overtime.
Yeah, I'm trying to decide what was the more telling part, Dave. Was, you know, how that the overtime and the way they kind of took charge and the way the Raptors, you know, didn't really have a counter for that, or the way the Heat kind of were sloppy and frittered away that lead at the end of the fourth quarter. Never mind the miracle shot, but it you know, it was kind of a sloppy, unfocused finish for that team.
Oh,
that
it was collapsed. They, yeah. You know, two inbounds pass go, they miss and you know, miss foul shots and opportunities and you know, there's no way you should lose a good veteran playoff team, and these are veterans, even though this team together hasn't been in a playoff. You know, Deng's 12 years, Wade's about the same, and Joe Johnson's about the same. These are, for them to have frittered away that lead there in the last 19 seconds, you know, most team, I thought that the game was over at that point. I thought they would have come out like a puddle of goo in the overtime, So, yeah, it said something, you know, to lose the game and then win it from a Heat standpoint is good. If you're Toronto, you're saying we didn't play very well either, and yet we were right there. So we'll see where the series goes from here.
I guess, Dave, you're coming off a series, though, that Charlotte series where you didn't quite know what you were going to get night to night from the Heat either, correct?
Yeah, up until, you know, they lost game five at home. Just I'm sure you guys didn't follow it that closely, but and it looked like the they were going over the edge at that point because Charlotte was up 3-2 going home. And again, for all the Heat, there's only one player, really, two with Udonis Haslam, but one player who's still from the championship era, you know, 2 years ago or 3 years ago for the Heat, and that's Wade. So this isn't these great Heat teams. They haven't been that. And they collected themselves and won in Charlotte. And then they ran Charlotte off the court in Game 7. And so, you know, we're learning something about the team that we, you know, I really didn't know that they had in them in the last, you know, three games, really.
Now, Dave, the situation with Chris Bosch just continues to get more and more interesting. We're now led to believe that the NBA Players Association has requested a meeting with the Heat to try and resolve this situation with Bosch. I mean, Bosch, it's basically come down to Bosch wants to play. His doctor says he can play. The Heat are just saying that, you know, there's no, I think their spokesman said there's no update. He's still out indefinitely.
This is the strangest situation ever in that the Players Association supposedly came out with a statement, but they didn't release it to anybody evidently, but Deadspin. I mean, if you're coming out with a statement and you're the Players Association, come out with a statement. We went up to Amari Stoudemire, who's the players rep for the Heat. He didn't know anything about it. Hmm. So I'm not saying they didn't come out with it, but if they did, it's very bizarre. That that's just the latest strange step. But, yeah, the bottom line to this is Bosch evidently, and he hasn't talked. He's got two PR guys around him so that nobody can even approach him in the locker room, and yet he's traveling with the team, and even though he flew up with the owner to Toronto. But he's in the locker room. He's around the team. He evidently has a doctor who says, yes, he can play. The Heat have doctors, plural, who say don't play him. This is a very strange situation, and that we're so used to the reverse in football, for instance, where teams for decades have overlooked health issues and got players on the field. This is one where the team is saying, for his own sake, we don't want him to play. Now, I think there's something else at work here. He hasn't played since February. He hasn't practiced since February. So even if he were to come back now, he wouldn't be any good in this series. He'd be thinking, okay, beyond that. But from a competitive standpoint, yeah, the Heat would want him back, even if it was back in 10 days or something. But it's a strange situation, and the player wants to play, and the team saying, no, for your own health, we don't want you to play.
Is there a liability issue here?
Oh, I'm sure there is. I'm sure that has to figure into it somehow. Now, the Heat publicly are saying nothing, so we don't know where what order is it. Is it number one, Chris Bosh's health, number two or three, liability issues, or number one, liability issue? It's just a strange situation.
Well, it's odd, too, because the guys around the team, if he's flown up with the owner, I mean, I've got to think that they're not fighting each other on the flight up here.
Yeah, and he walked out last night out of the arena after the game with Pat Riley. So, and he's around the players, around, you know, he goes to the practices. He's in practice gear shooting. He's just not working out in the drills up and down the court. He's in the locker rooms before games, after games. So he's there, but he's not there.
And this is the blood clots. I mean, that's as far as we know. There's nothing else.
As far as we know, it's simply, he had a blood clot in his leg.
Right.
This year. Last year, of course, it went into his lung, and it was a life-threatening situation. This year, there was nothing like that. The question becomes, does this return? And if it returns, what type of health issue does that cause? Now, he went on blood thinners, reportedly, which really changes the timetable for when he can return because of contact and if something would happen. To be honest, there's a lot of medical issues here that I have absolutely no understanding of, and it seems like the medical community is split on it, too, just watching this play out.
Dave, it was great of you to do this. Enjoy staying in Toronto. Try to stay warm. It's going up a bit. Should be all right.
Yeah, man, I can't believe it. It's so weird to come from Miami. It's in the 80s for the last 2 months, and I come up here and it's winter again, 40s. What is it with you guys?
This is not winter, my friend. You need to, you know what?
It's the best time of year here. I got news for you.
Bring your family up to Winnipeg for Christmas next year. You can stay at my mom's place. We'll show you winter.
I used to vacation in Muskoka during the summer.
That's right. I remember you saying that.
I know what cold is, but, that's the beautiful time of year.